I'm Hannah Co. Footman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vestazen.
And we are
the Fuckboy Podcast.
Gals.
Stunning.
Tired. I'm tired.
Hannah's losing her marbles with tiredness.
Yes.
All in the name of a very good cause, though, obviously.
A phenom cause.
Yeah. We are,
Phenom.
Phenom.
Phenomenal.
Phenom. Phenom.
So phenom that we just had to get rid of the last syllable of that word.
Yes.
Filming season two of Fate the Wink Saga, and it is a delight, but it's big stuff, so there's a lot to film.
Yeah, lots of fairy fuckery.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Oh my
but
God,
it's
I
worth
cannot
it.
Wait.
Cannot
but I am very tired.
Wait, mate. Kath, how's Portugal?
Pigal was amazing.
Pigal,
I need to do
love
my
Pigal.
Day two test today, and apparently it takes ages.
You did it today, you did it this
morning.
No,
I need to do it like this afternoon and send it to the post office or something.
Oh, you're doing it? Oh, okay. I went in and did mine.
That's quite smart. I think that's a better thing to do.
Why? It's so much easier to just do it and send it off in the post.
You have to deliver it.
By hand?
By these babies.
You have to carry it with your own two hands.
You have to carry it in a bag, drop it in a box. It's very archaic. Yeah.
Yes.
There's like drop-off spots all over London.
Fascinating.
I'm going to put out there, I'm really over being swabbed. I know that it's the right thing to do and we need to do it, but I'm over it.
I'm so with you.
I weirdly find it quite exciting.
Oh, wow. How much are you getting swabbed, though?
Well, at the moment, not at all, because I'm not
working.
Oh,
you're getting swabbed all the time, aren't you, Hannah?
Yeah. My tonsils can't take much more, TBH.
Oh, no, I don't like it up the tonsils.
I was telling the girls before we started recording that we've been filming all week with a lot of, like, open, like, candles and open flames. You're very mood lighting. Mm-hmm. We love to see it.
You do.
But it does mean that you inhale a lot of smoke. And so when you blow your nose, it is disgustingly, it's like black soot.
Lots
so when you're getting black bogeys, but when you're getting swabbed and the swab comes out black, embarrassing.
Yeah. Ooh,
actually
embarrassing. My bogeys are actually quite black since moving back to London.
Ew.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
London
grim,
is very polluted.
It's polluted. So grim.
Polluted. polluted.
Isn't that, who's a really famous actress who has Harvey Weinstein's name tattooed on her ass? Who won
an Oscar?
Oh
my God, you're joking.
Gwen.
No.
Dame Judes.
Yes.
Wait,
she has
Judy
Harvey
Dench.
Weinstein's name tattooed on her ass.
Yes.
Wait, okay, hold up. I'm sorry, I need more context.
Thank
well,
you.
I mean,
this is your pop culture reference,
that's
Hannah.
That's sort Coe. Of the only context I have, really. She was on the Graham Norton show and she said that she had Harvey Weinstein's initials tattooed on her ass.
That's not aged well, has it, Jude? That's actually mad.
I know.
Oh, no. Talk about a tattoo that you'd regret. I mean, like getting no regrets or something is regrettable, but Harvey Weinstein on your ass.
Un grande regrette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, good news is...
Have you been practicing your Italian?
Honestly.
I don't know what's happened to me.
She's
I don't
so
know who I've become.
Multilingual.
Pigal, phenom, un grande regrette.
Do you know what, guys? I think it's all right, though. I have a feeling she has enough money for tattoo removal service.
Yeah, but when you're that old, you're going to be like, what's the point?
Are you looking
years.
At your own ass? Do you know what, though? I reckon Judy still gets her end away. And you, it would
you
be a turn
shags?
Off.
Oh, she's a very naughty, naughty woman.
Yeah,
as
Judy
well
shags.
Fiona Shaw. Don't you think her and Fiona Shaw and Helen Mirren just have these, like,
they shag.
Utterly deplorable orgies?
Yeah.
1,000,000%. And I stan it. I love it from them.
Can we join in?
If they would have us.
Yeah, give us an invite.
Us?
Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon they'd have us for breakfast, lunch and dinner?
For breakfast, lunch and dinner.
I think we could, yeah, I think we could get all three.
Maybe we could have Fiona Shaw for breakfast, Helen Mirren for lunch, and then Dame Judi Dench for dinner.
Or you do dinner, breakfast, lunch, because then you get the whole evening in between.
Thank you.
Oh, that's smart.
Thank you for that.
I'm here all week.
I don't fully understand it, but
no, look, we can have breakfast for dinner and brunch and lunch and look.
Is it all day? Levenses.
It's all day brunch.
Levenses.
It's all
it's
day.
Bottomless prosecco.
Or it's an all you can eat. It's all you can eat buffet, guys. Here's hoping that they accept our formal invitation in the form of this podcast.
Thank if you are listening,
and Kath can curry it with her two hands
with these little babies. I'm wiggling my fingers because you can't see me. Like a maniac.
Has anyone watched anything good recently?
White Lotus.
Oh my god, White Lotus.
I'm only on three.
Catherine!
I have to wait for Ree, my flatmate, to come back.
For fuck's sake, Ree, get off a bloody mountain in Canada, will ya?
Exactly. That's exact my sentiments.
Our friend Ree is Scottish and incredibly brave. I mean,
disgustingly brave.
She just jets off to these random places.
Did you see she did a self-tape on the side of a mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah, with her dad.
She's a fucking head case.
Which is just hilarious. Like, hellish. Just like doing a self-tape with your dad would be hell, but doing it on the side of a mountain.
Absolutely not. I don't have the mental bandwidth for that.
If Paul comes anywhere near me while I'm doing anything.
Not Paul. Kath's. Out. Kath's pop.
Yeah, that's my dad.
My dad just honestly would, God bless him, give it 110%, but totally in the wrong direction. And it would be so off-putting, but also incredibly sweet.
Yeah. There would be no sweet. Col. I can't.
No. Yeah.
I can't bear to think about Colin.
I once did a self-tape with Colin, and he said that he was just basically talking about my appearance the whole time and saying I think he said that I had I can't remember. He just said something horrible about the way that I looked, and I was like, do you know what? I cannot do this.
Was your dad negging you in this particular circumstance?
He was massively negging me. Yeah.
How dare he? Tell you what else was good. You guys binged Sex Ed season 3?
No, still not.
I haven't.
It's good. It's good. Maybe. It's not as good as last season, but it is good.
Maybe we should do an episode on Sex Ed.
100%.
But the thing is, they're so knowingly, they are doing what we're doing.
They're it too
well. They're very self-aware, which I love about it. I really, really do. Do you know what I will say about the cast of Sex Ed? I really, really love all of those actors as like personalities.
Yeah.
They're such a good bunch.
Yeah.
I'm very talented. Oh, yeah. In a big way.
Vigil? Anyone been watching Vigil?
No, you've banged on about this one.
Submarine? Susan Saran?
Saran Jones.
Susan Sarandon
/ Saran Jones.
Their love child. Saran Jones being excellent.
Yeah, very good actor.
She is, very isn't good. She? She's fucking great. Gentleman Jack.
Didn't see it.
Is that problematic that they haven't just cast a trans guy?
No, because it was a woman
dressed up as a man. Is that an opportunity?
No, I think because, isn't it
because
very
it's
much...
in the Victorian times, they wouldn't have transitioned.
Was it about being trans? I thought it was about just queerness.
Yeah, well, it's about complexities of... like gender and queerness, and it covers all intersects. It's all in there, yeah.
Interesting.
I thought she was brilliant in it.
I really recommend this. Have you ever listened to Stephen Fry's Victorian or Edwardian Secrets? Because
no, but I've heard it's incredible.
Isn't it free on Audible?
Yeah, it is. This whole episode, because they did an episode about male, like gay men, and I was like, oh, classic. And then at the end, they were like, don't worry, we've got a full episode about the lesbians. And I was like, okay, hold up.
Yes.
We're not having complete lesbian erasure. I don't know this world. Hello.
Yeah.
And that episode is really good. And he speaks about the person who inspired Gentleman Jack. It's like her diary entries, which were like had coded, and her brother and like maybe like someone who was related due to a marriage or something, found it and decoded it, and they didn't burn it or get rid of it, but it was all of her like talking about like making love with women in forests and things like this. So I thought it was really about being very much a woman who knew that they were gay. But that's interesting because I didn't realise that that was another element to it. I need to watch it, basically.
I really recommend watching it. It's a really good watch.
I'd love to watch that.
And a lot of women in that time would be male presenting because they wanted to live in what looked like a straight relationship so that they could go about.
Well, I was going to say, you guys know Sarah Waters, right? The novelist who does only lesbian fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Lesbian romantic fiction.
You recommend a lot.
My sister bought me The Fingersmith a few years ago, maybe because she thought I was a little bit queer. She like pulled it out of me. And it's honestly, Sarah Waters' novels are brilliant. There's A Fingersmith, Tipping the Velvet.
Yeah, both very
good.
The
Little Stranger. All of her novels. Kath, you would love them if you've not read any of them.
I haven't even.
They're brilliant. Yeah. Some of them are gothic, Victorian, but they always centre around a lesbian relationship.
Yeah.
And the writing is so beautiful. And her historical knowledge and research is so in-depth, but not to the point of it becoming, you know, overbearing or boring. It's just brilliant. Highly recommend. Mm.
Tell you what I just finished reading, which is Elliot gave to me.
Elliot is in
Winks with me. She plays Tara. And she gave me this book called Outlawed. And it's about, it's like a Western where a woman who, it's all about like infertility and how like women were shunned if they were infertile. And long story short, it ends up being a Western and it's all about like, again, like the intersection of like people, like the women who have to dress up as men or like are trans, but it's so entertaining and brilliant.
Oh, wow.
And the fluidity of sexuality as well within it. And it's like from the point of view of someone who doesn't understand or has even like come into contact with like queerness or anything. So you're sort of seeing it through like a really naive point of view. And it's really good. It's very entertaining.
Oh, amazing.
I'm definitely going to read that.
I will send it to
you. I love that idea, like the when queerness is presented as like something very like naive and just like a thing.
Well, it is, isn't it? When you're a teenager. Or yeah. when you're young and you kiss a girl for the first time and it's just totally normal. I was literally thinking last night about how, you know, on this podcast I was saying my first ever kiss was with a boy. Then I realized that's not true. My first ever kiss was with a girl. But it does in my head, in my very like, you know, heterosexual what's the word?
Conditioned
brain that to think that the only valid first kiss is when it's with the opposite sex. But actually, the first kiss that I ever had was with my friend.
Yeah.
In a bunk bed.
It's a bit fruity, mate.
But it was so innocent. It wasn't like we weren't, you know, it was just, it was just so lovely. Those are the days.
Those are the days.
Little bunk bed kisses with your friends in your pyjamas.
Oh, that does sound very innocent and sweet.
I think, like, maybe let's take a break and talk about our wonderful sponsor.
Yes, that is a genius idea, Catherine.
Yes.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Okay, Kath.
Fucking chaotic.
Do you want to take us on this wild ride of this next episode that we know nothing about?
Oh my God, I want to take you on this wild ride more than anything. A wild ride in an Aston Martin, ladies.
Oh my gosh!
It's James Bond.
We're getting like, boom. Truly an iconic fuckboy.
Oh my God, this is so exciting.
I didn't realise what a fuckboy. I knew James Bond was a fuckboy. It's a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm. We've been all sold a lie. Okay. I love James Bond, right? But then if you look at the cold hard facts, he's a dreadful bloke.
It's not looking good, is it?
He's dreadful.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear.
Like, he's a bad fucking bloke. Oh my God, honestly incredible. So I was away with my mum in Portugal and we sat down and we watched the first ever Bond film.
Oh, wow.
Because obviously there's a new film coming out soon.
Yeah. I'm sure it's aged so well.
When was the first one? When did it come out?
62.
Fuck!
Yeah, 62,
just to clarify, I was being very sarcastic when I said I'm sure it's aged well. I'm sure it's aged horrifically.
That definitely came through.
We got it that time.
We got it that time.
So James Bond, are you guys fans?
Yes, love James Bond.
Yeah, I really enjoy a James Bond film. But I will say that when we together rewatched, which one was it? Skyfall? Yeah, I was like, I actually can't get on board with a lot of this.
It was shocking.
It's a real turn off for me. Like, I really mentally switch off when that kind of content's in front of me now.
Totally. And it's kind of mad because I remember when Skyfall first came out, I really enjoyed it and I thought it was such a brilliant film. And then cut to four or five, how many years? No, I think it's been quite a while.
Oh, it's been a long time. I think it was like 2012 that film came out.
Right. So much has... Like, you know, we've all of our opinions have changed. Yeah. And all our eyes have been opened.
If it was 2012, that was a decade ago.
Oh my God!
I feel attacked by that fact. That.
Skyfall feels like it came out 4 years ago or something. That's mad.
That's the last one, isn't it? So the next film is...
No, there's Spectre.
Skyfall, okay.
Spectre, and now No Time to Die.
Right. Yep. I got you. I sort of gave up on it after Casino Royale. He's not my Bond. Daniel Craig, you're a beautiful man, but you're not my Bond. Pierce Brosnan.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, fucked up.
Tell me why.
Because I grew up watching him.
I see.
It's just, that was who was Bond. And, like, I remember Halle Berry coming out of the sea.
Yeah.
And, I remember loving them as kids. My parents used to fast forward it.
Oh, because it was
the saucy bits.
They didn't want to make you quit.
Yeah, because we were little. Yeah, they were like, oh, God.
Have I ever told you about my Rocky Horror Picture Show moment?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So have you guys seen Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No.
Yes, a while ago.
Oh, it's my shame.
Okay, actually, shame on you.
Yeah.
It is such an iconic, brilliant film.
Sorry, I'm going to stop.
Seriously, you've got to watch it, guys. It's so good.
I know. I need to watch it.
But basically, there are two scenes because it's the premise is like a couple go to this like spooky mansion because they need to use their phone, and the night is wild, and there's like someone who his name was Rocky. Oh, I can't remember. Basically, he goes into each of their individual rooms, the couple, and he pretends to be the other person in the couple and, like, starts, like, trying to have sex with them. And there's two scenes in which that happens. And they're very, very raunchy. And when I grew up watching this film so much, I must have watched it 25 times when I was a kid. And then I watched it again when I was 17 with someone that I was seeing at the time, and I was watching it and I was like, wait, I've never these like deleted scenes, like what the hell. And it just, my parents had just managed to skip it every
single
time.
Oh my God, you're like,
and I never knew.
And Friends.
Yeah, I was like, what is this, because also it's like consent is not a thing in it. I remember being like, it's all so dark. But it's such a good film of its time, like it's of its time, but it's anyway, that's I relate, Kath.
Yeah, to the cheeky little skip. I mean, I don't know what I'd do.
Better than watching a sex scene next to your dad, though.
Fuck it. Oh, awful. Yeah, Bridgerton with my mum was actually anxiety-inducing.
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And, like, my mum's pretty chill about that stuff, and it was still awful.
Yeah, it's very, very raunchy, though, Bridgerton.
Yeah. Who is your Bonds? I just have to know.
I love Daniel Craig.
Yeah,
I
do as well.
I think he's a brilliant actor. He doesn't do it for me, you know, physically, sexually. He doesn't get the old
juices
flowing, the mingle going. But I think he I like his ruggedness, I like his brokenness, I like his realness.
Yeah.
And
he's definitely a more interesting version of Bond, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. You kind of see the cracks with Daniel Craig.
Mm.
Whereas before I felt they were all a bit kind of squeaky clean.
So I want to start at the beginning. James Bond, for anyone who doesn't know, this episode will contain spoilers for you. It's a series that focuses on a fictional British Secret Service agent, and it was created by a writer called Ian Fleming. And he wrote 12 novels and 2 short story collections.
Wow.
That is kind of what the James Bond films are all based off of. So the character, James Bond, also known by the code number 007, has been adapted for TV, radio, comic, video games, and film. They're the longest continually running film series of all time. They've grossed over $7 billion in total, making it the 6th highest grossing film series to date.
What's the first? Oh, is that Marvel?
Yeah, that's Marvel.
Wow.
Oh, was it not like also Marvel, Harry Potter. Titanic? Oh.
That's an individual film. This is franchise.
Yeah.
Series franchise. Wow. So it's like Harry Potter, Marvel,
Lord
Star
of the Rings.
Wars are the top ones. And then Lord of the Rings would be up there as well. Yeah. I can't remember what they are. But it's the 6th, which is wild. They've not released a film for, like, years. It started in 62 with Dr. No, which is with Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think is...
Who's brilliant.
He is brilliant. Yeah. He's awful. He's
bad
arguably
bloke.
The worst of all the Bonds.
Yeah.
But he is so good. Oh, my God, he's so good in it. There have been 24 films.
Wow.
24, yeah, mad. And in 2015, the series was estimated to be worth $19.9 billion.
Fucking hell.
That's a lot of money.
Quite a lot of moolah, right?
Yeah.
That's like Marvel dosh. So other, obviously, important elements in the films, apart from spycraft. Spycraft, would you call it?
Sure.
I love
espionage?
Espionage. Espionage. Oh, that sounds way better. Okay, so apart from espionage...
Spycraft.
It's like Spy Kids.
Sorry, Kath. Spy Kids. We can't progress without dragging you for Spycraft. What the hell is Spycraft?
I was like, that's
genius. I'm on board with Spycraft.
One of those, like, giving me, like, yes, girl, you just made a word.
I'm getting Dr. Gadget vibes with...
Yes, very Dr. Gadget. Very Spy Kids, very Dr. Gadget.
Yeah.
But hey, espionage is a craft. Spycraft.
Yes,
it
is. Please forgive me, I will not say Spycraft again.
Actually, please do. You can only do Spycraft from now on.
Stop trying to make Spycraft a thing.
It's gonna happen.
It's
so obviously, apart from Spycraft.
Yeah.
The films include cars, fucking guns, gadgets, and...
Girls.
We got the girls. So there's a really interesting kind of origin story that I didn't know about Bond. And Bond is super linked to Playboy magazine.
What?
Like, blew my fucking mind. In one of the films... Bond even picks up a Playboy, sits in a waiting room reading it, opens up the centerfold, and he's like looking at it for like a long time.
Of course he is, because it's a product placement, yeah. Baby.
Right? Like, so weird. They're so interlinked that Playboy even said, Playboy and Bond, this is a quote from them, Playboy and Bond defined the male mystique for the latter half of the 20th century. The clothes, the cars, the food, the gadgets, the girls, the wit, the sensual pleasure. These things matter. The enemy was not Spectre, but ennui, conformity, the daily grind.
Oh,
I love that! So, Playboy.
Sorry, what did it mean when they said the enemy was not Spectre?
Spectre's like one of the big enemies in a Bond film.
One of the villains. Right,
yes. Okay, got it. As in Christoph Waltz in the most recent film.
Exactly.
The enemy was not Spectre, but ennui, conformity, the daily grind. So that's why they created Playboy and James Bond to like combat the salary man.
Yeah.
Lifestyle.
That's so... I'm sorry though, can we just acknowledge the hilarity of being like... The struggle of men having to conform to the society that they built for themselves. Like,
this is, yeah.
Absurd.
So this is exactly what I thought was interesting. So it's like characteristically of the 60s, released in 62, started writing them in the 50s. Like, revolution is just in the air. Everyone is wanting revolution and freedom.
It's a sexual revolution in the 60s.
Yeah. But for these cis, straight, white men...
They don't know what to do.
The revolution against the daily grind is kind of all they can really aspire to. And it's so attainable compared to all of the other movements at the time, like civil rights movement and the women's lib.
The queer movement. Feminism.
Yeah. So it's so attainable and it just spirals massively and men are like, this is what I want.
But it's also ironic because they're being like, oh, I want to avoid the daily grind. But then equally it's like what I'm striving for is extraordinary amounts of wealth and living above the law, which requires me to basically do the daily grind, but probably illegally, like not paying my taxes and fucking loads of people over. So kind of.
Which is like the 80s is not long after the 60s.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it does. Yeah. It does go wild.
It tracks, for sure.
Wow. It does track. So this is in Variety. They released, this is one of the reviews of the film. So they say Ian Fleming's hard-hitting, fearless, I mean like fearless. Eye roll.
Imperturbable.
Girl-loving Secret Service agent 007 James Bond is an entertaining piece of tongue-in-cheek action hokum. I don't even know what that means. Sean Connery excellently puts over a cool, fearless, on-the-ball fictional Secret Service guy. So where women, people of colour, queers, black people all over the world are fighting for their rights for freedom, cis white men are craving a particular brand of freedom. They want clothes, they want cars, they want food, gadgets, girls, wit, and sensual pleasure.
Sensual pleasure.
It's just, it does fascinate me.
Yeah, it is. It is really interesting to consider that this came out in the 60s when the sexual revolution was going on.
I think as young women, like women, queer people are experiencing, like, at the moment, a kind of, there is like a second, third, fifth, there's, I don't know how many, wave. Kind of sexual revolution and like non-monogamy and like exploring what a relationship is,
exploring what gender is,
I don't judge it like I judge Bond for doing it, like so I don't know, it's interesting to see.
It's funny where you live within the constructs of society and whether it's like, you know, you're like, this is all a ridiculous construct. Most things are ridiculous constructs. But when you're living in the construct and you're like, but all of this serves me and I need a struggle. And my struggle is that I'm not having enough sensual pleasure on my personal terms, wearing a suit and drinking something that's stupidly expensive. I mean, it's a struggle I wouldn't mind having. Look, would I be mad if that was my biggest struggle? No.
I'd be.
Am
okay
I glad
with it.
That it's actually not my biggest struggle? Yes. Yeah. But like, just very astounding that that was what was at the forefront of
culture
at that time.
Yeah, and also, you know, what these people, everyone's different idea of what freedom is, right? And so for these cis white men, their idea of freedom when they experience the daily grind day to day, salary men, you know, working 9-to-5 jobs, their idea of freedom is this James Bond type figure, this dream where you're driving around in Aston Martin, you're murdering people left, right and center and getting away with it, you're sleeping with incredibly sexy hot women and wearing suits and saying slick things, and because those people are in power, because their voices are heard, that is then what we are seeing on screens.
Yeah.
Because they have that social mobility.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, it's not that simple, I suppose. There is a huge amount of toxic masculinity still to this day. And I'm sure an insane amount in the 60s as well.
And it serves no one.
But it kind of feels like they're still, with James Bond, they're still feeding into that toxic masculinity.
Oh my God, yeah.
So it's interesting, isn't it? It's like what they think they should be yearning for as opposed to maybe what they actually deep down are yearning for.
Mm. Yeah. And it's the way that James Bond can do whatever he wants and there are never consequences. Like, no one gets pregnant. He's not got an STI.
Yeah. Like, oh, he defo has had the clap.
Right? But it's not there. Like, no one gives a shit. Like, I wondered maybe to, like, people's parents or older people, they were like, oh, my God, this James Bond is just so out there. Or it just seems like everyone just...
Good for him.
Accepted it.
Yeah.
And never thought there would be
any kind of consequences. Imagine if you had a film about a woman who went around shagging and killing that, like...
She'd be demonised.
Oh, God, yeah. be a villain story.
But, like, part of the story would be that they have a baby or that they get something. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't just...
Or they fall in love.
It wouldn't just not exist. Or they fucking fall in love.
Yeah. And their emotions would get the better of them.
Yeah. Which James Bond... Does he fall in love?
He does fall in love, doesn't he?
He does. He falls in love with Eva Green.
Tell us more, Kath.
I mean, who wouldn't? Who fucking wouldn't?
Who fucking wouldn't?
This is true.
He falls in love twice, actually, during the series with a Bond girl. Now, some Bond of you girl. Out there, what's a Bond girl? I've never seen Bond. Well, let me tell you. A Bond girl is a character who is a love interest of James Bond or a female companion. So Bond girls occasionally have names that are double entendres or like puns. Double entendre. Is that how you say it?
Double entendre.
D'entendre. One of them who is a lesbian is called Pussy Galore.
Hilarious.
Oh, she's a lesbian?
She's a fucking lesbian. Oh my God. I will tell you later what happens with fucking Pussy Galore.
Oh, that sounds problematic as hell.
There's one called Plenty at All.
Plenty at All.
Xenia on a top.
Come again.
Xenia on a top.
Oh,
on a top. So she's like, she's a Russian, she's on top.
Oh, oh my God.
Holly Goodhead.
Oh no.
I shit you not, I'm not making this
shit
up.
Also, isn't Holly Goodhead like an incredibly smart, intelligent figure with it? I'm sure.
Yes, she is.
I'm sure she's like.
I can't remember why.
Like a scientist or an astronaut or something absurd. And even still.
I think she's the doctor.
She's a doctor. And it's that thing of being like, oh, yeah, you can be a doctor, but also you have to have a pun about fellatio in your name.
And you also have to be really fucking hot.
You also have to have massive tits.
You can't be a doctor otherwise, can you?
Yeah. No. You wouldn't be able to do the job.
No.
Sorry.
Sarcasm.
So Roald Dahl actually wrote a Bond film called You Only Live Twice. And fucking mental. Honestly, the shit I have learned about Bond.
Roald Dahl?
He's fucking mental.
That is absurd.
I googled the name four times to see if there was another Roald Dahl.
What happened to SEO Trot?
Yeah, I was like, the Petron, what?
Oh my word.
Just stick to the tortoises.
Oh, I loved it. So our boy Roald, he wrote You Only Live Twice. And he was advised to use three Bond girls. The first should die. Mm. Preferably in Bond's arms. Early, the second, ideally a villain, whom Bond seduces before she dies in an unusual and gory way about halfway through the film.
Ugh,
and the third survives till the end of the film. And that
but then
is
he ghosts her.
And then she's never fucking
she's
mentioned
not back
again.
For the sequel.
She's not even a fucking footnote.
No, she literally
in the story
isn't.
Of James Bond.
It is fucking weird the way that they treat girls.
Oh, that
girls.
Is actually fucking grim.
Yeah.
So that was a prerequisite of the script.
That was what they advised. So it all starts with this guy, Ian Fleming. So he's like a notorious playboy. He slept with loads of women.
I need to Google this man.
Yeah, have a look.
See what he looks like.
He wrote these novels, basically, and he wrote them after the Second World War. Quite significantly after, about 10 years. And... it's thought that the inspiration behind the Bond girl could be his one-time lover, Muriel Wright, who, this is according to the Times, has claimed to be the
Fon et Origo.
Do you think that's Italian?
Fon, I know, maybe that's Latin.
No. Fon et Origo, basically the origin.
Fon et Origo. Yeah, like the genesis, the origin.
Yeah. So... this woman, Muriel Wright, has a claim to be the origin of the species. This is what they say.
That's horrible. The Client? Species? The species that is a Bond girl?
A fucking Bond girl. Yes. Like
I'm sorry, lads. You've absolutely...
I know.
You've got that word wrong. That's the incorrect word.
You're confused.
They're not
this
species.
Is how they describe her, though. It's actually... you'll be greasy in a minute.
It's devastating.
Client and undemanding. Beautiful, but innocent. Outdoorsy. Physically tough, implicitly vulnerable, and uncomplaining, and then tragically dead before or soon after marriage.
Oh my God, that's so
basically
fucking depressing.
The worst life anyone could possibly fathom.
Basically, like a doll.
Also, I really love the, like, if you could just be, like, quiet but also confident.
Quiet,
and if you could
also
be, like,
outdoorsy,
pretty but not know it. Outdoorsy,
but
like, strong, down. But, like, you look like you have
outdoorsy,
no muscles.
Outdoorsy but housewife.
Like, yeah. Genuinely madness. So this woman was 26 and exceptionally beautiful when she met Fleming in 35, so 1935. She's a talented rider, skier and polo player.
Ooh,
so Wright was I mean, it's a fucking joke. She was independently wealthy and a model. She was apparently completely devoted to Fleming, who was obviously repeatedly unfaithful to her. And then she died in an air raid in 1944, which devastated him. And he said that she was too good to be true.
So he
because she literally was too good to be true.
So with these Bond girls, he was just trying to remake her.
Yeah, and constantly. That's what people think it was.
Sad situation. Although I will say, and it's a trope that again I think is really problematic, of being like, she was young and she died young, and this desire to keep women in, maybe this isn't fair to say, but borderline girlhood and definitely young womanhood, and a lack of celebration of like any woman over a certain age is so fucking problematic. And this is a perfect example of it. Of being like, I want to freeze everyone as being in this moment before she had any of the, you know, past her prime in, you know, quotation marks.
Yeah, and moments. Before she knew who she was.
Yeah, because she's so busy being devoted to some absolute fuckboy.
Yeah, and that is a trope in Bond. So a Bond girl is typically in her 20s, mid-20s, roughly 10 years younger than Bond.
Ew.
Bond's youngest sexual partner in the books is Mariko Ichiban, an 18-year-old masseuse in You Only Live Twice.
Oh, dear.
How old is
he? Eldest Bond girls are Pussy Galore, who Bond speculates is in her early 30s, and 29-year-old Domino Vitale. They're the eldest.
Grim.
So they conform to this well-defined standard of beauty. They have incredible figures, tend to dress in a slightly masculine, assertive fashion, wear very little jewellery. If they wear jewellery, it's in a masculine cut. They wear wide leather belts and square-toed leather shoes. There's some variation in dress. Sometimes they're just in their underwear or naked.
Sure, naturally.
That's interesting that they are wearing these masculine cuts and figures. Mm. I wouldn't expect that at all.
But then you think about it, and it is. It's like not the classic kind of
silhouette
of a woman. It's
Why
very angular.
I wonder if there's an element of being like, oh, this girl would never give in to anyone, or this woman and would then never, but yet Bond can win over even the, I'm gonna guess even the woman who only fancies women. Like, do you know, like, that's
Hun, we will
the
get
idea
there.
And also maybe it's that idea that if she was too housewife like, then the audience would feel uncomfortable when she was murdered or disposed of in the way that Bond girls are.
Yeah,
but if she's in this masculine cut, then it's easier to think that she's, I don't know, she's,
I think,
less
also
of a damsel in distress.
Yeah, it elevates her to a status of equality, and there's it's like the only way that men understand to give women power is to make them look more like a man or behave more like a man. Yeah. We will get into it, but they, like, they get the shit beat out of them by Bond. Like, they're killed and they're murdered. And
well, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, so I wonder if that's why. And I wonder if it's slightly this thing of just erasing all femininity.
Mm.
Like, being a woman is not appropriate for a male film.
Yeah.
So to give women this much airtime, it's just like make them basically a man who fucks him. But I don't know. It is it's an interesting and funny thing. But, like, they are also almost mostly white. They have sport light, though noticeable, suntans. They use little or no makeup, no nail polish. Their nails are short. Their hair is any colour, but they typically wear it in natural or casual cut that falls heavily to the shoulders.
Well, it's a
their
classic,
features,
like, so beautiful, and they did absolutely nothing to attain
nothing.
Their beauty.
Exactly that.
Which is the most unattainable form of beauty.
It's so unattainable. It's so male-gazy. Mm. And it's so that thing of, like, well, you look better without makeup. And it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's not for you. It's my, there's no expression.
Right.
It's like.
Yeah. They're not individuals.
No. They're a form. So their eyes and their mouths, apparently they're often widely spaced, blue-eyed, to an unusual or striking degree.
Yeah.
Which fucking reminded me of Daenerys in Game of Thrones. That like perfectly blonde, violet blue eyes, little girl, beautiful, perfect, magnetic, striking eyes. Yeah,
grim, very grim. So all round, the vibe we're getting at the moment is this is pretty grim.
Dodgy.
So this was in the 60s, right?
No, this is his books. This is...
Okay, sorry.
So this is based on the books, which were...
So this is... Okay, yeah. This is Ian Fleming.
This is OG Ian Fleming.
But also looking at Muriel Wright, his lover.
Yes.
This woman that he was in love with, she had blonde hair. And it's difficult to tell because all the pictures of her in black and white.
She got spacey eyes.
She had blue eyes.
How far apart are her eyes?
How far apart are they?
I mean, pretty
far. Are we talking
apart.
Sid the Sloth? Or is it more reasonable than that?
Slightly more reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah, no, like an average spacing. Not too close, not too far.
Okay.
Good ratio, I'd say.
She's a good-looking girl.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
She's right. Beautiful. She looks young. She does look young.
Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So these Bond girls, I mean, they're clearly just like sex objects, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
At least in the novels, they're very independent and... like, have their own wealth and usually have a career. Like, they're independent people and women, and they don't rely on Bond necessarily, which is, I don't know, it's quite interesting.
Weirdly more upsetting that these, like, really intelligent, really beautiful, self-independent women are being treated so disposably that even, like, it's almost worse because it's like, no matter what you do, even if you find yourself super smart, you get yourself into the best position you possibly can as a woman, you're still going to fall for a terrible bloke and get killed.
Yeah.
In possibly a gory way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So grim.
It's fucked. And it's about to get more fucked.
Okay, so let's hear it.
Next bit, trigger warning for sexual assault, rape, and incest.
Oh.
You probably want to skip like a couple of minutes or something. We'll write it in the show notes. So most Bond girls in the novels and sometimes expressly in the films are sexually experienced by the time they meet Bond. Quite often those previous experiences haven't been positive and many Bond girls have had sexual violence inflicted on them in the past.
Ugh, that's so horrible.
Yeah, so this is a trope. So it's caused them to feel alienated from men until Bond comes along. So these are the Bond girls and...
Saviour complex.
It's awful.
And he's just going to save them with his penis.
With his penis.
That's not how to... You know. It doesn't work, I'm afraid.
So Tiffany Case was gang raped as a teenager.
Oh my God.
Honey Rider was beaten and raped as a teenager by a drunk acquaintance.
What the fuck?
Pussy Galore tells Bond that she became a lesbian after she was sexually abused by her uncle at the age of 12.
Oh, get in the bin, get in the bin, God. Get in the bin, get in the fucking bin.
Kissy Suzuki reports to Bond that during a brief career in Hollywood when she was 17, they thought that because I am Japanese, I am some sort of animal and that my body is for everyone.
Oh, fucking hell. That's so disgusting.
So the implication is often that these violent episodes have turned the Bond girls in question against men. And then upon encountering
encountered the right blonde, maybe.
Honey, that'd be
But that ain't going to be Bond.
No.
Fucking hell.
They overcome their earlier antipathy and sleep with him not only willingly, but eagerly.
Ew.
So in Goldfinger, Pussy Galore is portrayed as a lesbian when she first meets Bond. But at the end of the novel, she sleeps with him.
Ah.
It's not sleeping with him, it's literally rape. When in bed, he says to her, They told me you only liked women. She replies, I never met a man before.
Oh, fucking hell.
You, wait, hang on. Babes, how have you never met a man before? Because no,
as in like, as in, like a
she's
real
only
man.
Met boys.
Like a real man.
Oh, I was thinking, God, how have you managed to avoid them? Let us
go.
Fucking
yeah,
me.
Like,
but she's like actually quite a
Isle
sick character. Like, she's like the head of like a lesbian mafia.
Oh,
like, she's
sick.
A fucking sick character. In like a very, very controversial scene in the films, Bond like fully rapes her.
I have something to share with you because I had an inkling that you might be doing Bond today. And have you seen that Guardian article?
Yeah, I got this from it.
Oh, okay, great. So Cary Fukunaga, the director of the next James James Bond film, No Time to Die, who is Japanese-American, woo, and the first, I presume, the first definitely American director to direct Bond films, but most definitely the first Asian man. He was talking about kind of evolving the Bond franchise to make it better and more modern and more in...
Less
in,
horrific.
Less horrific and sync with how we want to watch movies with women in them. And he said that, the director of No Time to Die, the 25th James Bond film, has said that Sean Connery's version of the character was basically a rapist. Mm. And speaking to The Hollywood Reporter, Cary Fukunaga appeared to refer to a scene in the 1965's Thunderball in which Connery's Bond forcibly kisses a nurse played by Molly Peters, who has spurned his advances. Is this that?
This is another one.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So I will talk about that one later, but this is another one where they're in a barn together. He's like pulling and pushing her around, trying to make her stay. She's trying to leave. They're like fighting each other. He's like flinging her over his head. They're like properly, properly fighting. She's like taking him to the ground. And it's like their arch nemesis. So like there's like that like exciting kind of thing that you get in some of these films, like Megamind with like the goodie and the baddie. There's like this like crackle of like, we love fighting each other.
Sounds like an abusive relationship.
Awful. But like, if it's men and men, you don't think, oh, they want to fuck. Actually, maybe you do think they want to fuck, to be fair.
I mean, we've seen Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, that is actually what we think. Oh, wow. I've realised I think different things. Anyway, so he pins her down, holds her arms back, tries to kiss her. She turns her head one way, says no.
Oh, my God.
Tries to kiss her again. She turns her head the other way, says no. He forces her head to the centre, kisses her on the face, and you just see, like, the life go out of her. But she, obviously they direct it, so she, like, puts her arms around him and kisses him.
That's so awful.
Very dangerous.
It is so horrific to watch.
That's so awful. Because people, it's, like, one of the biggest franchises in the world. People are watching this, young people are watching this, and they're learning about...
No,
how
not
to
really meaning no.
With the opposite sex. No, not meaning no. Young girls will watch that and go, oh, okay, at some point I just have to give up. Otherwise I'll get thrown about the room and have to fight this person off. And maybe it's better just to submit.
Yeah, and that's what you see watching it now. You see someone submitting and going quiet and just losing
so
the fight.
That's so awful.
It's awful. Everything about it, the like sexual trauma and then that this guy is like fixing them and that's how they... It's... Just makes you think about the way that the men who were making these films saw women.
And it's fine to have female characters with sexual trauma. We've all, as women, experienced sexual trauma. Unfortunately, it's just part of being a woman.
Yeah.
And I think we should definitely explore that on screen.
Yeah.
In the way that, you know, a lot of recent films have been doing so. Like, let's not erase that. That's definitely something that happens to every single woman in the world. But fucking don't just use it as something that makes her vulnerable and therefore makes you able to sleep with her. It's just messed up.
It's like another hurdle to jump over to get into her pants. And
that's
it's like,
exactly
this
is
not some like, you know, you just need a man who's going to fuck you right to undo.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
exactly.
No, absolutely not.
So in all the films, Bond has fallen in love twice
in 24 films.
There's been 79 Bond girls.
Yeah, the man is not here for emotional connection, is he? No. He is not on Hinge looking for a relish. He is...
He's in it for the peen rather than for the heart.
So remind me, how many Bonds have there been?
11.
11 Bonds, 79 Bond girls. You do the maths. You tell me which one's expendable.
It's mental. And one of those Bonds only did one film.
God, that's they're averaging nearly bloody
11.
Seven. Yeah.
11 Bond girls.
Oh, sorry, seven.
Bond seven girls per Bond man.
Yeah. Per Bond.
And
per
it,
Bond.
Like, it can be argued that some of them aren't Bond girls, but like they are.
Because they're just sexualized. And I'm sure even the bloody people in the background are feeling like Bond girls. Mm. I'm sure they're over sexualized too.
Would you do a Bond film?
I was just thinking this. It's so interesting because the first ever agent that I signed with, called Tavistock Wood, they had so many Bond girls on their books. They had Eva Green, they have Olga Kurienka, and then maybe like a few others. And joining that agency, age 18...
That was like the dream.
That was the dream. I wanted to be a Bond girl. I really... thought that was what the dream was as
that's
an actress.
So funny. It's so interesting.
It's not funny. It's really sad that was my dream when I was 18.
It's also so much about like, as in I would never have dreamed of being a Bond girl, but because I don't think my currency is beauty or sex appeal. Like, right. I know that I have them in spades, darling. We all have them in spades, but I really don't think it's at the forefront of what my currency is. What I can bring to the table. And it's so interesting that like the aspiration of being like, this is the woman who you should want to play, being like the currency that they're bringing is just raw sex appeal and not a lot else.
Totally. Exactly. And that is what I was taught was my currency.
Yeah.
You know, being like starting modeling when I was 14 and then like, that's basically it. It's like,
yeah,
the best part about you is the way that you look.
And that's
and how you make men
so
feel.
So temporary.
Well, no, it's not temporary, but it's business. Like, it's not, and it's most certainly not the biggest asset that I have.
It's absolutely not the biggest asset that you have. But I think also that's a really fucked up thing about saying to women, your main currency is beauty, because I'm sorry, their version of beauty, in quotation marks, it absolutely fades. It's frozen in girlhood beauty.
Oh, yeah.
And that is what they are referring to. And therefore, it's being like, this thing that makes you the most important thing is only going to be temporary. So don't get on a fucking high horse thinking you're that good, because you're only going to be great for a very short period of time.
And it's fascinating, this, you know, this agency clearly, like, collected these young women in order to sell a certain thing, you know?
Yeah.
And how that was something
that I wanted. It's very profitable. And a lot of money from it.
Very profitable, yeah. And, you know, like, if Cary Fukunaga does a good job of No Time to Die, which I have no doubt that he will, because...
Phoebe Waller-Bridge is writing on it as well.
She's writing on it, you know, that I feel like if you've watched True Detective, he's an incredible director. It was very, very male-heavy. I mean, I don't think there was, like, a single female role in that show, but... he's clearly making efforts to make it modern and moral. and he's half Japanese, which obviously is really exciting. So yeah, I would love to do a Bond film.
Yeah.
I definitely would.
This Bond film.
Yeah, it looks like actually what they're doing with these characters are cool.
Yeah, if efforts are made to make it cool, then 100% would love that.
I'm interested to see how they do. And hopefully the listeners will have seen the film by now.
September 30th, right?
Yeah, so...
we'll circle back.
Just before this comes out. So we want to hear your thoughts.
Would you want to do a Bond film?
Wouldn't even cross my mind.
No, never. Me neither.
But if you got offered it...
I mean, I'm not a damn fool. I'll take, pay me,
I'll
work.
Yeah, if I got offered it, I'd do it.
Give me money, I'll play basically anyone. Yeah.
All right.
I should have higher standards, but you know.
I wouldn't be morally against it, I think, is what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is what I mean.
I wouldn't be morally against it.
What about you,
Anymore?
Hannah?
Yeah, in agreement. It's so mad, though, because I just think the principle for me is just being like, I dread the thought of playing women with so little depth, like that's just, it feels, that's what feels wrong on a level that's like, I can't participate.
Well, this is the thing. I think, you know, when I was 18, that's exactly what Bond girls were.
Yeah.
And now I think now. That's changed. I think, like, you know, you look at Lea Seydoux, you look at Eva Green. I think Eva Green onwards, it got a lot better.
Yeah.
Well, Halle Berry was pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't
she's
actually
seen
She's
a CIA agent. So they often have this character that, like, is an agent opposite Bond, and she'll die or blah, 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 blah. But Eva Green is actually one of the ones that Bond falls in love with. She's one of the only characters that carries over films. So he confesses his love to her, resigns from the MI6 so they can have a normal life together, and learns that she's a double agent. She's then kidnapped and killed. And that's like the trauma that he is then kind of living with in the film Skyfall. And like that's the first films that he does. Like, there's clearly a massive change that has happened between, like, Pierce Brosnan's Bond and Daniel Craig's Bond. And you can see that. And, like, yeah, there's so much problematic stuff. It begins to explore... I mean, it doesn't. But it begins to explore the idea that women aren't one film...
disposable.
Done.
Yeah.
It's really bare minimum, isn't it? But
it's fucking bare minimum. I'm even saying out loud and I'm like, I don't know how I'm...
But it's the
I'm
beginning of change. But it is the beginning of change that hopefully something. We will see in No Time to Die.
Yeah. It makes his character deeper.
Yeah.
It doesn't make their characters deeper. They're still just tools in his story.
Yeah.
But that is changing. Like, Lea Seydoux's going to be reprising her film, her role in the film, which again, that's like... someone in multiple films, so again, that is something I'm sure her character will be given a great line
storyline
that's what this is called,
yeah,
of her spycraft.
Yes, her spycraft
through line to her spycraft. Some other women in the film are M and Moneypenny. I don't really know that much about Moneypenny, but M was played by Judi Dench.
Judi Dench.
Are they the same person?
Huh?
Are they different people?
Who, Em and Jude's?
Em and Moneypenny.
Yeah. Em and Moneypenny, yeah.
Yeah. Moneypenny is played by...
multiple people.
Can't remember.
In the most recent ones.
Oh, the beautiful woman who does the mattress advert. Or the, like, holiday advert. She has, like, a holiday advert where she, like, goes in the door and everything, changes.
I'm pretty sure she's also with that first agent that I was with.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But, so, Dench is... this is how they talk about her. It's fucking mental. She's based on this woman called Stella Rimington, who was their real-life head of MI5 between 92 and 96. They call her cold, blunt, and initially she dislikes Bond. Welcome to the fucking club. Yeah. She calls him a sexist, misogynist dinosaur, a relic of the Cold War.
Naomi Harris.
Yeah, Naomi Harris, that's her name.
She's brilliant. Naomi Harris.
Oh my God, she's fucking incredible.
Yeah,
so she's Moneypenny. And her and Bond have this, like, creepy romance. Which...
very creepy.
So creepy.
Don't you find that scene where she shaves his face in Skyfall the most awkward scene you've ever seen in your whole entire life?
Yeah,
not a vibe.
Genuinely repulsive.
I'm going to give you some things that actually happen in James Bond.
Okay, let's hear them.
So these are some things that I shit you not actually happen. So this one Hanako kind of mentioned earlier. In Thunderball, Bond narrowly avoids an attempt on his life at a health clinic. The nurse comes over to give him a health check and he kisses her while she's doing it.
That's she pulls not away professional.
And tells him to behave himself. Bond then says, somebody is going to wish today never happened. She says, if they find out, I'll lose my job. And he says to her, I suppose my silence could have a price.
Oh my God, that's
and then
disgusting.
They sleep with each other.
Wait,
that's absolutely disgusting.
That actually happens.
If you have to blackmail someone to shag you,
that's so great.
Maybe just know that that's...
just don't do it.
Maybe just a big old...
big old
no. So another thing. I watched a 6-minute compilation of James Bond slapping women and beating them up.
6 minutes?
Yeah. Fucking
yikes.
Massive compilation. 3. He rips off a woman's bikini and then strangles her with it.
He says,
there's something I'd like to get off your chest, and yanks it up around her throat.
Oh my God. Also, lame way to die. That is embarrassing.
Oh, horrible. Horrible. He holds two women's heads underwater, like drowning them to get information. He kills lots of women that he's had sex with. He holds a woman down on a bed who is only in her dressing gown with her arm behind her back, and she's saying, you're breaking my arm, to try and get information out of her. She says she'll be murdered if she reveals it. He then slaps her around the face until she gives him more information.
How is this guy meant to be the most charming person in the whole entire world?
I know. These are things that actually happened on fucking screen.
Oh my God. The thing is, all of this, like, as in gender-wise and stuff, in a sense, if you're going to kill men, kill women, whatever. But it is just the consistent sexualization of them at the same time is just astounding.
Yeah. It's like a snuff movie.
Relents? Yeah, it is like a snuff movie.
What's this video?
I really need to show Hanako this video. And I want her to afterwards describe what happens.
Okay, Pierce Brosnan is in a pool, floating in a pool. He's getting out of the pool. There are lots of pillars around him. He's just wiped his mouth with a towel. He's shirtless. His hair is perfect. Oh, who's that? Someone in a bathrobe. Oh, very beautiful lady.
Right, so...
No, he's really not that hot, come on.
I think he is.
Right.
So they're now, like, kissing.
Do you fancy Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah, he's taken off his towel. He's naked.
Oh, my God. He's got a full-on erection, probably.
She's biting his lip.
Oh, he's just thrown her across the room again.
His lip's bleeding.
Oh, she just orgasmed for no reason. Oh my God, she just kicked him. Nipples. And now she's on top of him, and now he's on top of her.
This is chaos.
Oh, she just slam dunked him onto a massage bed. Oh, she's wrapping his legs around him. She's coming. Oh, he slammed her against a wall. They're kissing again. Wow.
They're really kissing. Oh. Are they having sex?
Oh, I think his penis just went inside her. Oh, another wall. He's slamming her against a wall. He's slamming her against a wall. I think he's trying to kill her.
Oh, he's just burning her bum.
Oh my God.
He's holding a gun at her.
He's going to shoot her now, isn't he?
And then at the end, he knocks her out.
Oh my God.
He fully knocks her out. Okay, so Hannah, what
just
happens?
Just knocked her out.
It's a Russian spy. They have like...
very intense...
intense chemistry, like...
Oh, well, I don't know.
You're like, are they trying to fuck? Are they trying to kill each other?
She's a villain, right?
She's a villain.
Does she squeeze people to death with her legs? Is that how she kills people? Because I'm pretty sure my partner has told me about this particular Bond girl who did bits for him when he was a teenage boy.
I can actually genuinely understand why he's with you from that video.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I am very similar to this woman.
She is similar.
Hanako famously has nearly murdered several people with her leg strength.
With her leg strength.
Thighs.
Yeah.
She's got deadly thighs.
Yeah, famously.
Thighs of steel.
They're like, Hannah, they're like beating the shit out of each other. You're
throwing
not sure
each other
if
across
the P is
room.
In the V at any point.
Oh, I thought the P was in the V.
I think the P's in the V, but surely not.
She's like making coming noises all the time.
It's mental. They're like kissing, they're fucking. He picks her up, throws her over the top of his head, slams her down.
Oh my God.
Gets a gun out at her.
He slam dunks her, Hannah.
He dunks her cheeky butt cheeks.
Is that fit? No, it's not fit.
It's...
I don't want to be slam dunked.
I don't want to be slam dunked, but maybe your partner does.
Yeah.
We don't kink show.
Maybe... Hey, I'll try it tonight.
Slam dunk. Oh my God, please slam dunk him. But that film's made in 95. It's just like the weirdest thing in the entire world.
That's crazy.
That's devastating.
I'm going to send you the video. Obviously, we're going to put this on social media. It's just that I actually just cannot get my head around this video. It's the most wild thing in the entire world. And then he just, at the end of the thing, he just smacks her on the back of the head and knocks her out.
Oh, God.
When he's got what he wanted, which is information. Oh, he's so rogue.
He's dreadful.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Okay, and then in
Skyfall,
which we watched together.
Mm.
So there's this character in it that is a fucking former sex slave.
Played by... she has the most amazing name. She's French Chinese.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember. Carry on.
So it's like awful. She's, oh, you just feel so sad for her character. And then they start a relationship, obviously a sexual one, not a fucking emotional one. Jesus, yeah. Me, imagine.
Berenice Marlowe.
Berenice Marlowe. Oh, what a name. Our queen.
Ugh.
He literally doesn't bat an eyelid when she's shot in front of him. He doesn't bat
an eyelid, does he? I remember that. And she's in the shower at one point.
Yeah.
Yes. And then he walks in and starts fucking her. Yeah. And like, yeah. There's no
consent.
No consent. No, like, I'm sorry. If I was having a shower and then some random naked dude who I've only met once walked in, I would freak the fuck out.
Oh my God. Yeah,
but get out.
That Radox would be up his bottom. Big snaps. That was absolutely excellent. Big snaps.
Wow. Oh, so many videos for the social media on this one.
Well done. Knew that he was a bad bloke, amazing. But like...
Didn't know he was that much of a bad bloke.
It's so funny because like some of these episodes, I feel like things are really objectively hilarious and it's just so like astounding and just can't believe it. But I guess there's certain ones like this where you're like, it doesn't even feel funny sometimes. Like, the cultural repercussions of these things are so felt now that it's astounding, but it so tracks. Makes so much sense.
It does, doesn't it? It's weird, I think, that...
I'm glad I was raised
on these films.
Yeah, we were all raised on these films.
Yeah.
And, you know, they taught us clearly, subconsciously, a lot of
bad
dreadful,
shit, yeah.
Dreadful stuff.
Messed up stuff.
Along with everyone else that watched them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it's going in the right direction. And I'm glad that these new filmmakers are making...
And it says a lot about what people are crying out for. We don't want this stuff anymore. Yeah. It doesn't entertain us and it doesn't make you feel good.
So I'm really excited to watch No Time to Die.
I am as well. I hope, like, the listener that you've gone and seen it, I mean, that's like,
what you think.
Yeah, that's your rundown on Bond. Spoilers. Spoilers galore.
Yeah, not pussy galore.
Yeah, we'll have to go see
spoilers
it.
Spoilers galore.
Yeah, not pussy. Pussy galore is a fucking cool character.
Pussy galore is such a good name.
Like a lesbian mafia.
So
that
cool.
Is
fucking
fun.
Cool. I want to watch her spin-off.
Hannah, I hear you have a listener story for us.
Yes. Considering we've, you know, had quite intense amounts of fuckbory, I thought, you know, we'll end on a nice
and
little...
fuck gallery.
And fuck gallery. We're going to bring in a listener story that was sent to us actually through our Instagram, but we also have on our website... What's the website again, guys?
Fboypodcast.com.
Yeah, a little submission section. So please do send in all of your delightful tales. So this is from a wonderful listener called Katie. She said, I am now so much more aware and have literal F-boy-itis whenever I notice my male friends doing anything rogue, which honestly, we all have.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. And also, that should be an official diagnosis.
Yeah.
F-boy-itis.
Yeah. F-boy-itis.
Okay. So she said, my confession. I slept with a guy a few times. Let's call him Fred Smith. And once booked an Uber on his phone to get home. Please bear in mind that I logged into my account, not using his. And then a few months, Fred had been chucked by this point, later, I noticed Uber constantly taking money out of my bank account.
No.
We're talking up to £30 a day. And this went on for about 2 or 3 weeks.
That's like only travelling by Uber.
I know. Honestly, living the ball of life, that Fred Smith.
Right?
Man child, man child, man child, man child.
Man child alerts. I contacted the bank naturally to report the payments, and they launched a formal investigation and came back to me saying that they had tracked them down to a name, F. Smith.
No!
They asked me if I knew this person and if I wanted to settle this myself or go through court proceedings.
Holy shit. Take that motherfucker to court.
Take that man to court.
But she said, very reasonably actually, very level-headed of her, said that she knew the person. She'd try and resolve the issue personally first.
She's
the outstanding balance of these payments was about 200 quid, which was... Also, a very considerable amount of money for a student. That's about 120 Jaeger bombs.
Oh my god, those students, they said that?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that is so true.
Oh, yeah, I love
that. So true.
Get those Jaeger bombs back.
Yeah,
yes.
Unbelievable. That's you.
Jaeger's all round.
You could be very trashy drunk with that money. Yeah. And you deserve to be.
Yes.
So she messaged him asking for her money back. Why the fuck he had not been using his own card. And he just said he had no idea. He said that he was still getting emails to confirm his booking, so didn't know that the card he was using was different.
Bullshit.
Seems suspicious to me, because how did my card end up on his Uber login? He calculated up the sum of his quote-unquote emails and agreed to give me my money back. He said £200 or pretty close to. I thought to myself, this guy turns up at my door at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning off his head, asking for a shower, used my card on his Uber, and spent £200 swanning around the city. I don't believe for a second that he didn't know. It's a no from me, hun. So I told him I also had emails and the total was actually £300. That fuckboy had to give me an extra £100 for the trouble and inconvenience. Thank you, next.
Oh my god, yes. We must profit off fuckboys. Otherwise, what are we playing at in this world?
Too much stress. Absolutely. To not be getting that extra £100.
Yeah. Double it. Yeah. And then add a zero.
Absolutely. Amazing. Revenge is sweet. And expensive.
Yes. So. Oh my god, that's such a good one. God. I love her.
So, what kind of fuckboy was he?
Man-child.
Absolutely, yeah. A man-child.
Definite man-child.
Yeah.
And probably a massive narcissist if he's swanning around London in Ubers. Yeah. £30 a pop.
Yeah, on someone else's card.
Also, that thing of being like, oh, I have the email. Like, full-on liar.
Yeah,
you're
full
a liar.
Lies. I love it. That's such a bougie way to steal. Yeah, just get the tube.
Such a bougie way to steal. It's a step up from stealing your partner's card and getting
to get a Tesco meal.
Your Tesco meal deals on it. Yeah,
it is. It's a small step up, but a step up nonetheless.
It's a small step for mankind. A massive step for man children.
Fucking yes. Hear it from that queen. My friend, this is completely unrelated, but quite a good story. My friend's sister once stole her mum's credit card and went to drove to London and stayed a night at the Ritz.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, that reminds me. I once really fancied this fuckboy. He was my first fuckboy. You girls know his name.
Oh, I know the story.
Yes, you do. Bloke.
And you know the story. He once stole his mum's credit card to buy a Glastonbury ticket.
That's, oh my gosh,
a lot of money.
That's a lot of fucking money.
That's like half a grand, like 500 quid
that
minimum.
Is soft boy meets man child.
Yes.
Yes. It's a big fat no.
Yeah, oh my god, that is spot on.
All round embarrassing.
And she told me like very soon into our... Was it courting? Was it not? Still don't know. Still a little bit scarred from it. Thanks very much. I was going to get cried out.
That 14-year-old trauma sticks with you.
14-year-old trauma. He, like, told me very brazenly, like, it was something to show off about. I was horrified.
That's classic, though, when they're like, this is a brag. And you're like, no, baby, that's embarrassing. You've embarrassed yourself.
That is embarrassing, isn't it? I think soft boy man child is worse than Mr. Narcissist man child.
Yeah.
Like, soft boy man-child is, like, depressingly unaware.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas Mr. Narcissist man-child just doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck. Yeah.
He's just like, oh, yeah, sorry, don't know how that happened.
Oops.
Oopsie-daisy.
So used to getting his own way.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't fathom paying for his own Ubers. Kind of almost admire the hustle on his end, but just it's just badly executed, isn't it?
Yeah.
So wow, therefore, okay, embarrassing.
So I think we're going to do a listener story after every episode from now on, because they're so good and we're getting so many. Please send them out.
Yeah, keep them coming.
Absolutely.
Links for all our resources are in the show notes. Please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from 007 to the man whose name literally means fuckboy.
Yep, you guessed it, Casanova.
In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you're listening.
And if you have your very own F-Boy or F-Girl story, don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions at our website, www.fboypodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, and you can find even more fuckboyery on Instagram and Twitter at fboypodcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom.
So watch out, Casanova.
We're coming for you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.